Chapter 10, Recess. Mrs. Marlowe was the fifth grade science teacher, and it was her day for outdoor recess duty. As she was gulping down a quick lunch in the teacher's room, Mr. Lipton, the custodian, stuck his head in the door and said, "Anybody want to see a miracle? Go check out the cafeteria. The fifth graders aren't talking today, not even whispering. It's like a funeral in there." But Mrs. Marlowe didn't have a moment to spare. She finished her lunch, grabbed her coat, and hurried outside to the playground through the gym. Even without the heads up from the custodian, it wouldn't have taken her long to figure out that something was different at outside recess today. Every teacher knows the sound of a normal, happy playground at lunchtime. Kids talking and yelling and chasing, and all the arguments about who's it and who's out and who ran faster. Not today. Mrs. Marlowe could tell that a whole layer of spoken sound was missing, gone, absent. Except not completely, because the kids did make some slip-ups during their first wordless recess. Allie Bedford got caught whispering to Lena Henderson by the swing set. And when a group of boys stood and shook their fingers at her, she held up 8 fingers to show how many illegal words she had said. Christina Farley didn't have to confess, because half the kids on the playground heard exactly what she said, loud and clear. She stomped her feet, stuck out her tongue at Rachel Morgan, and then shouted, "You're a terrible friend, and you lie, and you're selfish, and I don't care how many words this is, and you're mean, too." Which was 23 words. Christina's goof, plus the 8 words Allie whispered, meant that Dave got to record 31 points against the girls on his official score sheet, which wasn't as fancy as Lindsay's red notebook, just a couple of folded index cards stuffed in his pocket. But the boys weren't perfect either. Scott Vickers booted a kickball down the third baseline, and when 2 boys made the foul ball motion, he yelled, "Foul? Are you crazy? No way. That ball was fair." And Scott would have kept on yelling, but Bill Harkness tackled him and clamped a hand over his mouth, which Scott bit, but not hard enough to make Bill yell any words. That incident cost the boys 10 points. And then there was the first case of trickery. Katie Edison snuck up behind Jeremy Stevens, who was standing by the sliding board, tapped him on the shoulder, and when he turned his head, she gave him a big, noisy kiss on the cheek. Jeremy howled and wiped his face and flew into a fit of cootie-itis. "Ew, yuck, why did you do that? That was so gross. Yuck, help me get this stuff off my face." Which was 20 more points for the girls. Plus, Katie actually enjoyed her sneak attack. She'd had a top-secret crush on Jeremy for 2 months. Even though there were only a few word blasts, it certainly wasn't quiet out there, and it got noisier and noisier as the end of recess got closer. That's because everyone began to realize that this was not a contest to see who could be silent. It was just about not talking. Sounds were allowed as long as they weren't words. Dave was near the door of the gym and began whistling. He was instantly joined by 4 other boys. They whistled every song they could think of. "Row, row, row your boat," "Now I know my ABCs," "London Bridge is falling down," "Barney's marching song," "The Star Wars theme song," "Old MacDonald had a farm," "I've been working on the railroad," "Rubber Ducky," on and on. The whistling was mostly off-key, but it was a grand performance anyway, with lots of clapping and hooting between tunes. Somewhere near the middle of the whistling concert, 6 or 7 girls began screaming. These were not the kind of screams that make grown-ups come running. They were just an ugly assortment of squeals and yelps and shrieks that everyone else found very annoying. Spaced out around the edge of the playground, the girls bounced their high-pitched sounds around like a beach ball at a baseball stadium. "Yeah! Ooh-wee! Woo-hoo! Yee-yee-yee!" They made lots of noise, but they weren't talking. Some other girls were jumping double dutch, and since they couldn't chant the rhymes, the kids who weren't jumping or turning the ropes clapped out the rhythm of the words with their hands. The quietest activity involved four girls who had a printed folder that showed how to use American Sign Language. They sat in a circle on the ground and practiced their hand signals. And to round out the soundscape, Bradley Lang and Tyler Rennert were cruising around the playground, bothering as many girls as possible by making all sorts of mouth sounds, clicks, pops, roars, quacks, barks, burps, and especially those loud bathroom noises created by putting the palms of both hands over the mouth, puffing up the cheeks, and blooping out a blast of air. Mrs. Marlowe could see there was plenty of activity, but those high-pitched playground voices, all that buzz and chatter and calling out, all that was definitely missing. There was no mistaking it. These kids were not talking, which would have been unusual for any bunch of students. For this group of kids, the custodian had called it right. It was practically a miracle. But why? There had to be a reason they were all acting this way. And as a science-minded person, Mrs. Marlowe was curious. So, as she stood there thinking, Mrs. Marlowe began to adjust her afternoon lesson plan. Because in about 10 minutes, 26 of these fifth graders would be sitting in her room, ready for science class. And there was nothing Mrs. Marlowe liked better than a good experiment.